Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the morning show. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCamera today. You want to get in 215-592-9494. Now at 9:15 today, we will be doing life advice. I'll be giving life advice to people today. So that should be interesting. Do you have any advice, John, for me on how to give life advice to the audience?
Tom, you have such a rich tapestry of living and loving and learning.
I have no clue what that
draw
means.
From
okay,
for well, you're your married. Life you got advice. Three kids.
Yeah.
You know, you deal with stuff every day.
Yeah, we'll sit. But I'm not.
I can't wait to hear your sage.
I'm not well versed in giving people life advice, but we'll see. Take it at your own risk. But
don't try to read a 14,000-word document when you're, what, is he three or four now?
My kid's four.
Four.
And I just, yesterday, he's just trying, like, he just, look at this, do this. I'm like, I just need, like, 20 minutes.
They don't,
to
they
read
don't
this.
Care.
No.
Getting 20 minutes
just
from a four-year-old.
Just driving me nuts. But you want to get in. I'll be giving life advice later on. You can either tweet us or text.
You gave me
so
good
people,
advice.
Welcome to do that.
Already today. You gave me great advice.
What did I
Tom.
Give you? What advice did I give you today? Well, I'm giving you the advice of getting behind Joe. Where are we with that?
Well, that's stupid.
No, are you going
so
to?
This is different. This is an actual good direction that you're pointing me in. You said, stop trying to read the Joel Embiid sees you article on your phone.
Yes.
Because I complained. I've been, you know, trying to read this thing for so long now. It keeps resetting, you know, like if I...
You
if
have
it,
a computer
closes,
there.
That's what I told
him. I know. That's what sage-like Tom, talkative Tom, sage-like and talkative Tom... is that too long a nickname for you?
I'm waiting for you to wrap it up.
Sage-like and talkative Tom, you can
read it on your
computer. Advise on, because you really did a great job telling me to read it on my computer. It won't reset.
It won't reset.
And I can go right back whenever I want.
It's
easily
a lot,
reading the
a
article.
A lot easier for you. But I do need to follow up, John. Where are we with the you getting on board with Joe? Because this is my mission for the week. By the end of the show tomorrow, I want you fully on board, fully behind Joe DeCamera. We were talking about it yesterday, the afternoon show versus the morning show.
I mean, I guess if Joe is
willing... Are you a little more... I feel like I'm getting to you a little bit.
How about this, Tom? If Joe's willing to admit that he's doing this not because he thinks he's a better athlete than Jack, but because he thinks he can, like, use his... veteran wild
savvy,
his veteran savvy and cunning to outwit Jack in feats of athleticism.
I don't think that'll ever happen.
Joe is doing this competition, this one-on-one competition, because he believes he's a better athlete one-on-one with Jack Fritz. Joe versus Jack.
Maybe he is. And you should support him in that. This has become a show versus show thing.
I don't believe that he is, and I want him to eat a slice of humble pie.
I mean, I get where you're coming
from. You've
worked
with him too long, John.
But you just need to, exactly, like Rhea said, you got to understand that's not going to happen. I mean, Joe will probably not eat the humble pie, even if you put it right in front of him. So I just think you got to get behind. You heard what they were saying about James yesterday.
He's trying to eat the humble
pie. That was terrible.
He's pretending to eat the humble pie, and it's fooling people like you into thinking that he's doing this for some other reason. Like, doesn't it bother you that Joe thinks that he's a better athlete than Jack? And he scoffs.
No!
It bothers me, maybe, because as a former athlete... I felt like, and now I'm learning things about Jack, like he really didn't play
yeah,
much
Yeah, it's not like Jack's an athlete
baseball.
Either. Neither of them are athletes. that's what it
things,
comes down to.
A lot of things have shifted. You know, the playing field has shifted a lot during the duration of these contests. So, yeah, I've learned things that have bothered me about the guy I was backing in this whole thing, Jack. But he still is the guy that I'm more behind than Joe.
All right.
I can't deny the way that I feel. And I do, as I said, hope that Joe eats a slice of humble pie. So if I root for him, that would be rooting against what I truly think is best.
We'll continue to try to, I'll try to get to you a little bit. 215-592-9494. Should John get behind Joe DiCamera? You want to get in on that? You are welcome to. Let's go to John in Allentown. What's up, John?
TK, I'm so glad you picked up on me right after John. Listen. Just like the Sixers organization has turned me into a non-basketball fan, which basketball was my favorite sport growing up because, you know, I was kind of poor. So basketball courts were everywhere. John is turning me against John.
Turning you against John?
Yeah. John Ritchie, you can't get on board with supporting your buddy. Are you friends with Joe? John Ritchie, are you friends with Joe?
Yes.
And how can you not? You don't even have to say, I think.
I'm also
Joe
friends with Jack.
You're better friends with Joe. Come on.
Yeah. I don't know about that. TK, I don't know about that. At this point, I don't know about that. I think he might be better friends with Jack because to be with Joe all this time and not understand that it's not about whether Joe is a better athlete or not. It's about supporting your friend, your coworker, the guy you sit next to.
Jack is also my friend and coworker.
Dude, you don't sit next to him every day.
No.
John, we came from the same area and played sports growing up. I even followed you in high school. And, like, I don't understand where this mentality, like, guys from where we came from, don't have that mentality. Like Rhea has the mentality of, hey, you're talking trash on my boy, I got his back. Like, where, John, you're disappointing. You're so disappointing me, man. It's so I'm so upset by this. It's even I'm so more upset by this than the Sixers. Like,
this
John,
is,
you got you're disappointing me, man.
Well, like, I wish I could.
You were an idol to me.
I wish I could change the way that you feel about.
Well, you can.
This.
You can support. You can. Support Joe. You can change the way he feels.
I
you have the power.
I do not support Joe's endeavor to prove that he's a better athlete
All
than
right.
Jack
Why not?
Fritz.
Well, John, what do
Why
you
don't
got?
You support it,
John. What do you got on the Sixers, man?
Just like I was saying, guys, the guy that called earlier about how this organization and the way I've treated players, like. Again, basketball, like, to me, was every day, right, growing up. The Sixers were every day for me growing up. Like, all my life, the Sixers. And they have just turned me against basketball, period. Like, to the point where I don't watch basketball. I don't watch the Sixers anymore. Like, the last 2 years, I have not watched the Sixers game.
Well, yeah, I mean, this year especially, John, they were really difficult to watch. What do you have for somebody that's multi-talented?
Oh, man, you know, I thought about that really hard. And Steve Martin. So multi-talented.
Yeah.
You know, actor, comedian.
Stand-up comic, singer.
And one thing he does that I have never seen anybody do on a level he does, he plays the banjo at a world-class level, which is not an easy instrument to play. It's wild.
I didn't realize he was a banjo player. Thanks, John.
Oh, yeah, he's incredibly multi-talented.
Steve Martin, 2 days in a row for the side topic.
You're going to have to start watching some of his more recent things.
Well, I think that, maybe. That's the definition, I guess, of being multifaceted. You get mentioned in the side topic 2 days in a row.
50-year career.
Yeah, you got to be doing something right. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Get back to everybody's calls when we get back. Do you blame the Sixers or Joel Embiid more for the failings of this organization? We'll read more from this piece, some more interesting things from this piece on ESPN.com yesterday. And when we get back, we will let you hear a little bit from the ESPYs last night. Shane Gillis was the host. And
Mechanicsburg's.
Some things to say about the Eagles. So we'll get to that when we return. I'm Tom Kelly, in for Joe DiCamera. This is the morning show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the morning show. Tom Kelly in for Joe DiCamera today.
Great time.
215-592-9494. If you want to get in, talking about the Sixers, Joel Embiid versus the Sixers.
That's Tom Kelly who sings this song. He probably has no idea.
I have no clue. That's why I was trying to run by.
Take a guess. Take a guess who sings that song. I'm Still Standing.
Billy Joel?
Well, close. You're close.
Is that right?
Great guess.
Wow. It's
not, great guess.
But I'm
wrong,
right?
You did an awesome job.
Am I right or am I wrong?
No,
but
you're wrong.
But very cool. But well, they toured together once because I saw them both.
Okay.
So take a guess.
Elton John.
Yes.
All right.
Correct.
Well,
it,
you know how low the bar has to be?
I know. That's
that
so
people
demeaning.
Have to be like, wow, good job.
Yeah.
You guessed Billy Joel for a famous Elton John song.
Yeah. I mean, that was incredibly demeaning by you guys.
It was like we were patting you on the head. Like, good dog.
Yeah,
good dog.
Exactly.
It was,
I mean,
surprising.
Give me a belly rub.
I found it very surprising.
Because I got
why?
Because
you didn't guess Jay-Z? I mean, like,
yeah. I was wrong. I should have gotten crushed.
But you were...
For you, it was seen as progress.
It was an informed wrong.
Okay.
It was somehow more informed than what I expected from you, because it doesn't seem like you watch like lots of movies or stay up with
pop
culture.
Oh, like, I watch movies and shows. I'm just not music. Like, I'm not musical. That's why I enjoyed when we
You're
had Jonesy,
musical.
Because Jonesy was always the guy who
listened. Jonesy does not listen to music.
Yeah.
How? What do you mean?
He's a weird guy.
No, if you drive in the car with him, he does not want music on. No radio.
It's so weird.
Yeah, he's weird.
Yeah.
When we would fly planes, like going out of spring training, he sits and stares straight ahead on a plane, which would unnerve me if I ever had to sit next
to him. David Putty in Seinfeld?
He just literally pulling a putty,
yes. Stands. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
A little bit.
Yeah. I don't know how much I trust Jonesy now after that.
You shouldn't trust Jonesy.
Yeah. That's probably the right answer.
But get that Flyer shirt out of the cabinet or out of the drawer. Yeah.
Yeah, the Flyers shirt that I still wear more than the
Sixers shirt. Jonesy should implement
a
rule, no music at Flyers games. Like, in between face-offs and stuff. Yeah, just dead silent. That would be great throughout the arena. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But for the Sixers, this ESPN.com article that came out yesterday, we'll get to more from it coming up in a few minutes here. But who do you blame more for the way the Joel Embiid era has panned out? Do you blame the Sixers or do you blame Embiid? There's a lot of blame on either side. I just think in the end, Embiid had to get to the point where he had to be the guy to assume responsibility. And I get that the organization has not always done the right things. I mean, they've been flat out bad a lot of the tenure he's had here. But in the end, I never feel like he took on the responsibilities to the degree he needed to as the best player on a team. And in that league especially, the best player sets tone. Sets tone for the whole organization.
What I'm curious about are two things. What was his point for this article? Okay. And how did the Sixers respond? Because there's things in there that, you know, I could see pushback. Sixers going, well, of course we didn't leave his rehab in the hands of an intern. You know, maybe an intern was scheduling, like, all right, you know, Joel, you got to be at rehab at 2:00. That's not being in charge of rehab, way it's phrased.
You know, that's one of those things that was really troubling to me, too. And I was thinking back to my own rehab. I don't know exactly what the terminologies would be. But in some circles, if you don't say athletic trainer for that guy who's doing the rehab, you know, he might be offended. In some places, it's just, hey, he's the trainer, or hey, he's the assistant, or
like with the Eagles and Chiefs, we know who's in charge.
Yes,
it's Rick Burkholder.
Absolutely.
Everybody knows his name.
Rick's the head guy.
He's the guy. That's
titles
why
titles sort of come into play here a little bit. So I kind of wonder. I don't know exactly what that means. I know that sometimes there are interns or younger people working on staffs who are more expert in certain joints, you know, certain areas of the body. Maybe they're specializing. And so when I rehabbed my knee coming back from my ACL, PCL, LCL, MCL,
the whole thing,
both meniscus guy, they assigned a younger athletic trainer who was not an intern, but he wasn't one of the big wigs.
Right.
I mean, he wasn't like the main. It wasn't Rick Burkholder. No, it wasn't Eric Sugarman. It wasn't those guys who were at the top.
But they were in charge of this person, correct?
Yes, they were in charge.
That's where I'm curious where this line comes from, because I remember back to those days. Remember Embiid showed up in Las Vegas, I think, for the Summer League in flip-flops, and they were mad because, you know, he was recovering from the first surgery.
Right.
But I as much as I think that organization is a mess, I'm finding it hard to believe an intern was in charge of his beginning rehab.
See, that's the thing. I think it's all about the terminology. Yeah. The guy who did my rehab, someone could have called him an intern at some point because he was a young up-and-coming, specializing kid who was really good at knees. And so they put him on me at the time. Maybe someone could have very easily called him an intern. I think that's the kind of thing we've got going on here. But that is unbelievable. That notion, that idea, if that did happen, oh my gosh, it's just impossibly broken of the organization.
Absolutely. But this is the thing. Like, because we just asked question, Rhea, I think you asked the question a minute ago. Like, what was the point of this piece? Why did it come out? And I hate to look at everything through this lens, but with Embiid, it's hard for me not to. Is it felt like this piece was a lot of, you know, excuse making, like a lot of what we've seen from Joel, of justifications and reasons why things didn't pan out. And, you know, I I'm not saying it's all his fault, but I would like to see like some accountability at some point. And this was one thing that, again, kind of disturbed me a little bit, because the big moment of this past year, and I think the point where we kind of knew the season was headed down a dark road, was in November when they're in Miami and Embiid doesn't play well. And after the game, Maxey comes out and calls him out. And this is from the piece. It says, weeks after the locker room altercation in November, Sixers held a closed door meeting to address the team's 2-11 start. Details of the meeting leaked the following day. Maxey, whom Embiid considers one of his closest friends, confronted him about being late to team events. And Embiid, you know, it said, whoever leaked it's a real piece of bleep, whatever. And he's asked about it during this article. He says, I know who leaked it. I'm not going to tell you the past is the past. The one thing I'll say is it's hard being around people that do that sorts of stuff. That goes back to the trust thing. Once you cross that line, you can't expect me to be part of a team meeting again. That's just not going to happen. So in one breath, he's saying, yeah, you know, I know it's
a
behind
team
us.
Meeting.
But you can't move forward now.
You can't,
if this person's
you're
still
never
here,
going to a team meeting.
And say you're not going to a team meeting.
Partake in team meetings? How does this work?
Well, this is the part that bothers me more than anything, is he still doesn't understand the fact that the problem isn't who leaked it. The problem is that you weren't doing the stuff you were supposed to do in the first place.
He makes a joke in this about the night he scored 70, you know, and I've read it a couple times. I can't understand that he showed up late that night. So you're 100% right. It's not who leaked it. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that you had to be chastised by a young player on your team.
Right. And the fact that he's still, like, this is what drives me nuts, and this is why I can't get past it with Embiid. And again, early in his career, the Sixers did a lot wrong. There's no question about it. But the fact that he still doesn't get it all these months later, all these years later, that, dude, the problem wasn't, and whether it was, you know, I don't know, Eric Gordon, Paul George, whoever he thinks leaked this news to Shams, the problem isn't that. The problem is that Tyrese Maxey, who's 10 years younger than you, needs to tell you how to be a leader and how to conduct yourself. I mean, that's why I just can't absolve Embiid. And I know a lot of people read this because there is some heartbreaking stuff in there about his family and his history and stuff like that. And I do have sympathy in that regard for that part of it. But I can't read this and just think, oh, well, yeah, I mean, you know, none of this is on Joel, because I think in the end, a lot of it falls on him. Mm-hmm. And it frustrates me. He doesn't understand that.
Yeah, you're right. Accountability. But isn't that sort of thematic for a lot of the problems that we have with our stars on a lot of our teams? You know, the avoidance of responsibility or the, you know, the truly good teams, it seems like they do a great job of holding themselves accountable, of policing themselves. The coaches do a great job of setting up accountability, a culture of accountability.
Isn't that what happened with the Eagles?
Absolutely.
I mean, I think
with
that's where you're leading.
Videos, yeah. In practice that Zach Ertz leaked about, Nick Sirianni. It's the first time Zach Ertz had ever seen a coach coaching guys up after practice. Every single play would have numbers of every single guy who made a mistake.
Right.
And then if Nick Sirianni made a mistake coaching, his name would be at the bottom of that play.
Well, it's why I think a guy like Nick Sirianni's criminally underrated. Like, people look at Nick Sirianni, yes. He doesn't get the credit he deserves because he's not a play caller,
yes.
Or an X and O guy.
Yes.
But Nick Sirianni has implemented a culture of accountability.
That's groundbreaking.
Yeah.
The way that he did that, I'd never heard of anything like that, and that is awesome, and it accomplishes exactly what you need to accomplish. It's so simple. It's so straightforward. I'd be shocked if other teams around the league didn't try, hey, get that over here. We're adopting that.
Well, guys
pronto.
Don't want to hear about mistakes, but I think the most amazing thing is Sirianni and Hurts working. They're completely different people, and clearly that was an issue in 2022, and they worked on it. Mm-hmm. When Brandon Graham said what he said and kind of let the cat out of the bag, he went to both, he went to Hurts and to AJ and then spoke to the team. Like, I shouldn't have said what I said publicly.
Right, and their culture is strong enough
that
where they can do that.
Yeah.
Like, they can have these difficult conversations, and that's, again, where I come down on Embiid. Like, he looks at it, if you're having a conversation with him, I think he looks at like you're bailing on him. Like you're not supporting him, and that's not the way it goes. 215-592-9494. So you want to get in on that. Side topic today, give us somebody that's multi-talented, David Hasselhoff, great actor, great singer, somebody great at multiple things. That's
great
our side
actor.
Topic. Maybe not a great actor. Fair point. I overstated it there.
Popular.
Okay, actor.
Popular. Huh. How about popular?
Yes, popular. Yeah, that was a good. That was a fair call out. I mean, I don't know.
When you're
like
that
Knight
good
Rider,
looking
Baywatch.
And you're an actor and those kind of things, yeah. You're very popular.
Yeah. Michael Knight. Yeah, Michael Knight. If you'll recall, he had a pretty sexy looking
You're sexy?
Outfit for the time.
Okay.
Michael Knight was sexy Michael Knight.
Okay.
He had.
Calm down over there, John.
It was like black silk shirt. Leather,
you need
black
to wear,
leather jacket.
You need to be Knight Rider for Halloween next year on YouTube.
I loved Knight Rider, man. Do you remember the show? Kit was the name of the car. KIT. I don't remember why it was called Kit.
It's probably
though.
Something with the computer.
I'm sure. But a classic of Americana, and sort of lost to the years, though.
Well, that's our side topic today. You want to get in on that. We'll get to some ESPY sound in a few minutes here. But first, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Derek and Paoli. What's up, Derek?
Yo, what's up? Yo, listen.
Derek.
Didn't the Sixers extend Embiid after the Olympics?
Yes.
Right? So I don't understand how you're saying, like, at some point Embiid got to be this, Embiid got to be that. Like, why would the Sixers give him a three-year $190 million extension after the Olympics if his knee was this and that? They know more than us, right?
Well, because they felt like they were stuck, Derek. And, well, this is the problem. Like,
I
think
who approved? Like, somebody had to. Like, how did that knee get approved? Because he never was ready for training camp.
Right. And they shouldn't have
signed.
Well, they shouldn't have signed him to the extension. But in the NBA, the way it works, like, if you don't sign a guy like that, you're just losing the asset for nothing. So I don't agree with them doing it, but at least I understand why they did it.
I don't understand how you can say that. And then it's like, listen, with the Sixers, right? When Ben Simmons didn't want to be here, right? They held on to him till the absolute last second, traded him for Harden, right? James Harden didn't want to be here. Daryl Morey's a liar. They held on him to the very last second. So I just feel like the Sixers as a whole have always done like this, like stupid stuff. And it puts the team behind the eight ball.
Well, Derek, I'm not.
They waste half the season.
Well, Derek, I'm not defending. I'm not defending the Sixers here. But you don't think Embiid deserves any responsibility for this?
I'm not saying he don't take no part. But I feel like what we do is right. We always say like we punish Jalen Hurts for not saying anything, right? Then Embiid comes out and says whatever he's saying. Now, I don't know Embiid, But we're taking it as everything that he's saying is not relevant. He's this, he's this, he's this. Like, athletes are people. They got feelings, man. So, like, if he feels a certain kind of way about something, it's a tough town to play in. I'm sure he hears all the whispers about him. So he was just letting people know, like, where he stands. I'm not in support one way or the other. I just feel like we don't know what we want sometimes. And the Sixers as a whole, they just been making bad decisions. And Embiid's been right in the middle of it. Like, why would you let him go play in the Olympics, right?
Well, that's not their choice, Derek. The Sixers have no say over it. I mean, you could watch that postseason press conference. Right. You could watch the postseason press conference of Daryl Morey. I think it was pretty clear Daryl Morey didn't want him to go play, but if he's going to make that decision, so there's nothing they can do.
So my last question to you is, right, with that being said, right, if his knee is that messed up, is swollen, he can't walk, and the Sixers are pleading with him not to go to the Olympics, right?
Uh-huh.
He still goes, right? Why would you come back and give him an extension? His contract wasn't up.
100%. I agree with you on that. I've never understood it.
Like, you can say whatever you want to say about Embiid, but the Sixers, like, they paying this guy the money. He ain't paying himself, right? He had no problem signing that extension because that's $190 million, but he didn't want to hear their cries saying, don't go play in the Olympics. So why extend him? You're saying he was going to walk for nothing? It never even came to that point. And the Sixers, they ain't even let Ben Simmons walk for nothing. So why would they let Joel Embiid walk for nothing?
Well, I hear you, Derek. What do you have for our side topic today? Who's multi-talented?
I went a lot, so I'm going to go with a light answer. I'll say Ice Cube.
Ice Cube, that's a good one.
That's a good answer.
Ice Cube, you know, the big-time rapper and actor.
With the extension is that we've been led to believe that it's, you know, it helps when you treat your guys this way. You know, it helped with Paul George. This is what the Sixers need to do to be perceived like a destination city. I hate that. I hate that part. I hate that thinking because it just doesn't seem to make any sense. And now the guy that we've supposedly, you know, helped lure to town by this type of thinking, Paul George, we know that doesn't seem to matter as much to him whether we win or lose as we'd hoped.
Too. Yeah, and let me be clear here. Like, I'm not – the Embiid extension was a bad idea. But what I can understand is I can understand that more than the Paul George contract. Like, the Paul George contract bothers me a lot more than extending Embiid because just the way the league works, that's kind of, you know, how – business is done. Like, you take a chance typically when you have a player like that, even if there are health concerns. But the Paul George contract, that was just reckless. Like, there was no reason the Sixers had to do that one. And that's the part that I just don't really get about it.
Yeah.
Let's go to Tom in Alabama. What's up, Tom?
Yo, Tom. How you doing?
What's up, Tom?
You know,
Tom and Tom. Look at this.
How about that?
The bond that you guys have. It's incredible.
Yes.
I can feel it right now.
We've had many calls together, a lot of them, hundreds
really?
Probably.
Hundreds? I don't know about hundreds.
So
Tom.
you guys really like hit it off from day one, huh?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Cool. You know, like, that does happen. I being a John, it does occur.
You have camaraderie
often.
With fellow Johns?
I think so.
Okay. What do you have
Wait,
on
I really think this is real.
Well, we'll see. What do you have on a beat, Tom?
You know, it goes back to 1968 or whatever. The organization has coddled the players. They've let them dictate. Will Chamberlain dictated a trade out of there. The same thing with, you know, everything Simmons and Embiid. You know, I don't want to hear about Embiid's feelings. The guy's making a ton of money. He hasn't kept himself in shape. A guy who was we really loved, I mean, went from one end of the spectrum to the other in such a time period that where we can't stand him. I'm sick of talking about the guy. I mean, he, you know, yeah, he stepped up and all. What he's saying, he's done this and he's done that. What exactly has he done? I mean, you know, I understand the whole organization's messed up from Ben Simmons. Didn't they put Brett Brown in there to try to get these guys to win? It makes me sick, man, to even think about these guys because there's no accountability. I mean, there's absolutely none, and it's a disgrace to Julius Erving, to Maurice Cheeks, to Andrew Toney, to those guys who took Lakers teams to the brink, but they didn't have enough because they didn't have anybody to guard Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, it's an absolute joke, man.
I mean, it's been frustrating to see what's happened, Tom. Who do you have for who's multi-talented?
Well, just to bury the Sixers here, Danny Ainge. He was a professional baseball player, he was a professional basketball player, and he was a general manager.
Okay, there you go, Tom. Appreciate it.
We are not nominating Giants and Celtics.
Yeah, look at that.
There's zero chance.
Giant nominated and a Celtic nominated. What else did Danny Ainge do besides play basketball?
He said he was a baseball player.
He played baseball in the majors.
Well, I got he did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Before his basketball career or after?
A lot of them did. Tom Glavine was a great hockey player.
In, like, professionally at the same time?
Danny Ainge played in Major League Baseball, yes.
I did not know that. That's interesting. I feel like the seasons would overlap there. I guess Danny Ainge, I'd think more of as a front office guy. I did not know he was a baseball player. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Talking a lot about the Sixers today.